When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
There's something happening in the city right now. We've discussed on the show, could restaurants be reopening soon? It seems like the mayor is definitely on board with that plan. She talked to reporters today, Mayor Lightfoot, and said, hey, we need to open these bars and restaurants as quickly as possible, I believe were her exact words. So help me out, Greg Pratt, City Hall reporter for the Chicago Tribune, covers that beat very well. For the Trib, lots of news today. This is among them. I guess my biggest question here is that according to my understanding, state health guidelines right now, the bars and restaurants don't qualify for reopening. Is that right?
That's right. The city of Chicago still hasn't gotten under the threshold, which I think is 8% positivity for 3 days. And the city's just not at that threshold, and the mayor is out there. And, you know, as I was reflecting on this, the mayor has always been very much let's get these restaurants reopened. You know, even back in May, she was on Pritzker's case wanting him to reopen sooner than he was comfortable with, and it's been a constant source of friction between them.
I even remember sort of dueling news conferences, maybe a couple days apart. You might remember this too, where the mayor said, we looking at the data, and I believe Dr. Arwady was there too, we're looking at it and we do not see our cases, our super spreaders, traced back to the restaurant situation. And that was the point she made. We absolutely did not see that, and if we did, I would close them. 2 days later, governor says that's not what their data is showing, and it seemed that shortly thereafter they got on the same page, it appeared at least publicly, and the restaurants were shut.
That's right. They've had dispute about that, and actually I, as a reporter, you know, I've been going back and forth with the city about data involving restaurants and things like that, because the city keeps saying, oh, we don't see that as a source of spread. And I say, well, give me the actual data. And they're like, you know, they hem and they haw and they don't give me any data. But their argument is that, you know, people say, oh yeah, of course they were at restaurants before they got sick, but that doesn't mean that that's how they got sick. It's, their rationale is, and, you know, they may not even be wrong necessarily, but they haven't necessarily put out the facts that substantiate that. But the other tricky thing for the mayor is, you know, restaurants are one thing, but, you know, on the one hand, she's out here saying, stay at home unless it's absolutely necessary, but she wants to reopen bars as well for indoor, drinking. And, you know, I'm not sure how you reconcile those two messages of stay home unless it's necessary or unless you really, really feel thirsty.
Well, I heard from the Restaurant Coalition, this newly formed group, earlier this week on the show, and I think it's the economic argument, right, that if you go to 20%, and they cited some sort of data about showing the 20% capacity was still a safe way to reopen, they believe, with all of the precautions in place, and that they feel the restaurant community is able and to handle these sorts of health kind of situations better than a lot of other small businesses. So their argument was, give us 20%, but do it now so that we can survive and keep these jobs around. I mean, isn't that what the mayor's sort of saying here, that it's more about keeping jobs and figuring out the best possible way to do this safely?
I think that's a fair way to take her comments, sure. And I do know she's concerned about the economics for bars and restaurants, and she should be. And, you know, we all should be. It's a horrible situation that they're in. It's just the other side of that is that the mayor, certainly in public, wasn't very specific about what she wants the governor to do exactly. And the mayor certainly has given some conflicting messages about what's safe, what's not safe, why is it safe, why is it not safe. And I think some people are also kind of confused by that.
Yeah, it's a delicate balancing act, for sure. I do know that. And we do hear from the folks who are just trying to, you know, keep their heads above water and try to keep their businesses afloat. And I always felt like there were a lot of egregious offenders who kind of ruined it for others. Over the weekend, I know there was a crackdown on some businesses. There are more people having parties, and they're pointing to these parties in people's homes, these sort of illegal parties in warehouses and businesses that are supposed to be shut down that, you know, really become a problem when you're trying to control the spread.
Yeah, it is a It's a complicated situation. I do personally feel for the restaurants. I miss going out to eat. I'm sure you probably do as well, you know. I think, and I often, as just as a citizen of the United States, I wonder, I feel bad and I feel embarrassed sometimes about what a bad situation as a country we've put our business owners in just by not being able to help more and just by how precariously structured our whole civil society is.
Yeah, it is. It's big stuff, it's deep stuff, and it's real because we're reminded of it, the real people who are suffering during all this. Everywhere you go, have you been to a restaurant when you do takeout and they're just so happy to see a customer at some of those places that don't have an active carryout business? They maybe just, it's just more of an experiential type restaurant or something like that. They're getting killed, right? But let's move off that just for a second, because I saw your tweet that said that Pritzker's office says he still has not heard from the mayor on this matter and looks forward to her call. So the mayor went out there. Are we supposed to believe that she went out in front of the microphone and didn't call him yet or didn't arrange a meeting, or is that in the works? What do you know, Greg?
Well, I think it's mildly funny, although it's not really funny, but it's mildly funny because that's the complaint that the mayor always makes about aldermen and business groups when they say something in public, you know, and then the governor turning that around. And I think the governor's office is probably being a little disingenuous. I don't know when the last time the mayor's office has flagged this to them, that this is something that they care about, but I know that this is something that they care about, and I have to imagine that they've brought it up recently on some level. That said, you know, I also don't think they're lying. You know, I'm sure she has not called me yet about that directly, and I'll be very interested. You know, in October when he closed down the restaurants and the bars, they had a conversation, and I'd be curious if they've talked since then. But she's been pretty clear about where she stands. You know, the governor's office certainly wasn't surprised by that. They were probably more surprised by the timing.
Late October, right? That's when we shut down indoor dining. It's been shut down ever since, right?
Yep. It was about the 28th.
Huh. It's longer than I thought. When you said October, I thought, has it been that long? And yes, it has. It has been that long. Something else that's coming through City Hall today is the message from the mayor about how Chicago is not receiving enough vaccines and that they're trying to get folks vaccinated. But the mayor seemed pretty hot when she said today it could take a year and a half to get people vaccinated if this is the rate we're getting them. Concerned about the timeline. What do you know about that, Greg? What's the holdup?
Well, I think as much as nobody wants to be responsible. The vaccine makers say, oh, we got plenty of vaccine, and the feds say, well, we're distributing it around, and the locals say we're not getting it enough. I think the mayor is right to raise alarm and concern and say, you know, we need more vaccine. Obviously, if we're not all vaccinated for another year and a half, then we have very deep, very profound problems, both as a city and as a country. I would guess that there's a lot of growing pains, you know, and hopefully that under the new administration things will speed up, and otherwise we're all in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that seems like a long timeline. It's longer than many of us thought in terms of trying to get things out there, getting those vaccinations to the people who need them. I did also hear in a separate conversation, though, that I think the governor was talking about he was coming up with the number of 65-plus for the people who could apply for the next round of vaccines. And I'm also wondering if teachers are part of that, the next round they're already talking about. Do you know anything about that, Greg?
I believe that they have moved teachers to group 1B. We're currently in 1A, and I believe that they've got teachers in 1B, which still the last estimate I heard was potentially February or March for when they'll start giving shots to teachers. And, you know, obviously from their perspective, it's not soon enough, but they're in the next category.
Yeah. Can I ask you just about something else personally, too? You become the CT Guild president, and I know that's a big role, and this is sort of a tough time to be in fighting for the journalism and the Tribune. There have been a lot of names who are suddenly resigning, a lot of folks kind of taking these packages, these buyouts, and we're all noticing them. They're names that we've followed, bylines we've seen, and people we've come to know over the years. Can you tell us anything about, what's going on there at Chicago Tribune? Anything you'd like to say about that, Greg?
I think the Chicago Tribune is a great newspaper still, and we want to keep it a great newspaper. Unfortunately, our majority shareholder is this terrible, no-good company called Alden Global Capital, which is a hedge fund that buys newspapers around the country and rips them up for profit. We are doing what we can to support the newsroom and support our colleagues and support good journalism. But we really need, if there is a wealthy, civic-minded person in Chicago to buy the Tribune, like what happened both with the Washington Post and with the Minneapolis Star Tribune, where a local rich guy named where a local rich guy who owns the Minnesota Timberwolves, the NBA team, bought the Star Tribune, and now it's one of the great papers in the country, even though, you know, that might surprise some listeners. But that was a situation where a local rich guy said, we can't go without a newspaper that is rigorous and strong. And I know that, you know, any rich people who may be listening to this who have the means to do that probably know somebody who has been mad at the newspaper because they covered something. But we really don't want to live in the city. Nobody listening to this really wants to live in a city that doesn't have strong local newspapers. It is simply not sustainable. It would not be good for democracy. You see what the politicians get up to in Chicago, even while they're being watched. If you took that away, it would be horrendous.
Yeah, and I think of all the great investigations from the Tribune over time, just of corruption, of things that impact people's lives, and the things that you've dug up that, you know, otherwise wouldn't have been dug up, and we wouldn't know about them. And it's you're right. You can get mad at the newspaper, you can get mad at a certain column or the way something's covered, but what would it be without it? To me, that would be a really desperate time for us as a city. So hopefully you find the rich guys. I mean, I hope you do. Greg, are you making calls? Is that something you're doing? Are you calling people?
Not me personally, for a variety of reasons, but the union.
You're a neutral reporter.
We do have people doing that, you know?
Yeah. Well, good. Keep us posted on that and all things. I always appreciate you calling into the show. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks for having me.
We're talking about the mayor and her push to try to get restaurants open in some sort of capacity. Let's talk to Alpena Singh about that. She's the host of Check Please on Channel 11. She's a successful entrepreneur, restaurateur herself, and a master sommelier at that, and somehow still one of the most down-to-earth people I've ever met. I don't get it, Alpena, but you are the full package. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thanks, Anna. Likewise, by the way.
Oh, it's good to hear your voice, and I would love seeing you on Check Please again.
Thanks,
I said you used to
Thank
do it,
you.
But wait, are you guys on hiatus right now, or what's
we're
happening?
On hiatus.
Are you shooting?
Yes, we're on hiatus, and we're hopeful, you know, to get back, you know, as soon as restaurants are allowed to open and operate in somewhat of a normal capacity. And so I was very encouraged by the mayor's press conference today, you know, saying that she's looking to open, you know, open us back up in some capacity. And so this is all good news. We're moving in the right direction. We just need the governor to get on board.
Yeah, and it seems like there'll be a little bit of work doing that, just talking to Greg Pratt from the Tribune minutes ago, but it doesn't mean it can't get done. We had talked to the Restaurant Coalition. It's an Illinois Restaurant Coalition, I think is the exact name, newly formed just for this purpose, to try to get restaurants reopened. Is the press here to try to do it at 20%, Alpena? What do you know about the plan? What's the pitch?
You know, I mean, just based on numbers, so we've been closed now 75 days. And we are one of only three states in the entire country that have closed inside dining. We are the longest that have gone, you know, that since the October closure. But a number that I do want to throw out is the fact that, according to the Illinois Department of Public Health, only 4% of all COVID infections can be traced back to a restaurant, yet that's coming at a cost of how many hundreds of thousands of jobs have been lost. And so it just doesn't seem like a fair trade-off. And I think what's happening is, for a lot of my colleagues, Valentine's Day, which is a significant holiday in terms of, you know, revenue, you know, because we miss Thanksgiving, we miss Christmas, we miss those holiday parties, you know, rightfully so. I mean, people, you know, have been asked to shelter in place, what have you. But Valentine's Day is sort of the Hail Mary at this point, especially considering that the PPP, the second round, those applications opened up yesterday, I believe. So it's going to take, I mean, it took us at least 3 or 4 weeks to get that process. So the fact that if we can open by Valentine's Day would be a huge help to get some cash in the banks and get some, you know, just cash flow.
Yeah, cash flow, survival, it's kind of a lifeline. I've heard it described by some restaurant owners who say, really, this is it. You know, we lost 30%. Is that where we're at now? I keep losing track. How many restaurants have gone under during this?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's basically 87% of all restaurants did not make a profit last year. You know, and basically, you know, I've been talking to my colleagues, and the majority of them are basically like, if something doesn't happen the next 6 weeks, then we're just not going to be able to open. We're going to have to close. You know, and so that is just such an incredible blight in a neighborhood, you know, because restaurants are very much sort of that energy space of what, you know, gives sort of, you know, they're where we gather and where we celebrate. And, you know, I mean, just these numbers are just staggering. 2.1 million people in our profession are out of work nationwide. And listen, if this was something where, you know, I saw data that said, listen, because we're doing this, we're saving lives, I would say, yes, absolutely. You know, we all have to sort of pitch in. But the fact is that only 4% of all the COVID infections are coming from restaurants. And case in point, you know, we were open all summer long safely last year. And one of my servers, you know, when we closed in October, he actually had to go take a job working for one of those grocery delivery service. He did not get sick the entire time he was working for us, but he got COVID-19 working for this grocery delivery service. So he actually got it in a grocery store, not working for us at a restaurant. You know, I mean, I just like, it just doesn't make sense to me. You know, I understand that grocery stores need to open, but if anybody wants to make sure that things are done properly and safely, it's the restaurateur, because if there's an infectious, you know, like an outbreak, we're closed for 2 weeks, and that's the last thing that we want.
Yeah, and you did see that. You saw restaurants in the height of all this when they're just trying to get back on their feet, suddenly shut down, and they couldn't operate because of those infections there. I, you know what I hate? I hate that people will point at the mayor now, and they are already doing this. Don't look at social media today, Alpin, okay, please. Because the mayor's already, they're already saying the mayor doesn't care about people dying, and it's health and safety. She doesn't care. Why would she open restaurants and bars? Why would she do that? And then there are those who say the governor doesn't care about jobs and livelihoods. He's going to just shut everything down and bankrupt everyone. And it's really not that that kind of a choice. I just feel as if at this point now there has to be some way to do this and do it safely and crack down on the folks who are not taking it seriously, right? I mean,
the issue is by not having a place where you can monitor it out in the open, what's happening is there's all these parties that are going underground. You know, people are getting hotel rooms, these underground parties. I mean, there's an article in the New York Times how people are making so much money throwing these, like, you know, parties with like wristbands and everything. And the if you talk to BACT, the Business Consumer, you know, department of the city, they have a full-time task force just trying to break up these underground parties. So wouldn't you rather have it out in the open where you could monitor it? And I do believe the mayor touched on that today.
Yeah. Were you happy with what she said? Do you think she'll be successful in her appeal to the governor?
I mean, the governor is a numbers man, and we do appreciate him for that. And then the good news is those numbers are going to be going down, and so I think he wants to see it at 6%. But, you know, where people say, are we sacrificing the health of our community in exchange for people being able to open up, you know, businesses? And I said, 4%. You know, people are more likely to get COVID from their home gatherings than they are at a restaurant. As I said, my employee didn't get COVID-19 working for us all summer long, but he got it when he went to go work for a grocery delivery service.
Mm-hmm. Doing delivery,
you know, so
yeah.
So with that logic, then we should shut down the grocery stores.
Yeah.
You know, which I don't think we should do, but you know what I mean.
Right. Right. I hear you.
What's frustrating is this sort of misconception that you have to have, like, by opening restaurants, you're sacrificing the health and well-being of the community at large, and that restaurateurs just basically, or the mayor, just wants to make, you know, taxes or make a dollar, this or that, whatever. And then that's not the case. That is not the intention here, because, I mean, it is, these are livelihoods, and the fact is that we have the PPP in place, we have the sanitation, you know, guidelines, we have the masks, you know, we practice safely, the social distancing, you know, everything is in place, so we're doing it safely, you know, and that's all I can say. And I have already had the experience of opening. I mean, I was open from March to October, and like I said, I mean, we were fastidious about making sure that, you know, the guidelines were followed.
Yeah. Well, Alpin, I hope it works, and I hope you'll keep us posted, too, because I think that we are at that point where I really hope we can do this safely and get it going. Valentine's Day is the day you'd like to see. Is that right?
We need a little love before. For our restaurants.
I hear you. We're trying. We're trying to do our part,
no,
but I understand
it.
It's not enough at this point.
I will tell you that the customers at Large Leaf, you know, our customers at Tara and Vine in Evanston have been just so supportive. I mean, to see the same faces show up week after week after week for carryout, because they get it. They care about their community and they understand, you know, what restaurants bring as far as, you know, making, you know, their little home a great place to be, a great place to live.
Nice. Thank you, Alpin. We'll be watching for
you
on the check, please.
All right.
I hope you'll check in with us anyway. You too.
I
have a good afternoon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Alpin.